Chelan's sketchbook, Urethiru. The city is incredibly huge. A chasm fiend's back would not reach the fourth floor. Part 2. New Beginnings, Sing. Shallan, Yasna, Dalinar, Bridge 4. 33. A Lecture. Dearest Sephandrius, I received your communication, of course. Yasna was alive. Yasna Kolin was alive! Shallan was supposed to be recovering from her ordeal, never mind that the bridgeman had handled the fighting. All she'd done was grope an eldritch spren. Still, she spent the next day holed up in her room, sketching and thinking. Yasna's return sparked something in her. Shallan had once been more analytical in her drawing, including notes and explanations with the sketches. Lately, she'd only been doing pages and pages of twisted images. Well, she'd been trained as a scholar, hadn't she? She shouldn't just draw. She should analyze, extrapolate, speculate. So she addressed herself to fully recording her experiences with the unmade. Adolin and Polona visited her separately, and even Dalinar came to check on her, while Navani clicked her tongue and asked after her health. Shallan endured their company, then eagerly returned to her drawing. There were so many questions. Why exactly had she been able to drive the thing away? What was the meaning of its creations? Hanging over her research, however, was a single daunting fact. Yasna was alive. Storms. Yasna was alive. That changed everything. Eventually, Shallan couldn't remain locked up any longer. Though Navani mentioned Yasna was planning to visit her later in the evening, Shallan washed and dressed, then threw her satchel over her shoulder and went searching for the woman. She had to know how Yasna had survived. In fact, as Shallan stalked the hallways of Urethiru, she found herself increasingly perturbed. Yasna claimed to always look at things from a logical perspective, but she had a flair for the dramatic to rival any storyteller. Shallan well remembered that night in Carbranth, when Yasna had lured thieves in, then dealt with them in stunning and brutal fashion. Yasna didn't want to merely prove her points. She wanted to drive them right into your skull with a flourish and a pithy epigram. Why hadn't she written via Spanreed to let everyone know she had survived? Storms, where had she been all this time? A few inquiries led Shallan back to the pit with its spiraling stairs. Guards in sharp Kolin blue confirmed that Yasna was below, so Shallan started trudging down those steps again and was surprised to find that she felt no anxiety at the descent. In fact, the oppressive feelings she'd felt since they'd arrived at the tower seemed to have evaporated. No more fear, no more formless sense of wrongness. The thing she'd chased away had been its cause. Somehow its aura had pervaded the entire tower. At the base of the stairs, she found more soldiers. Dalinar obviously wanted this place well guarded. She certainly couldn't complain about that. These let her pass without incident, save a bow and a murmur of brightness radiant. She strode down the muraled hallway, the sphere lanterns set along the base of the walls, making it pleasingly bright. Once she'd passed the empty library rooms to either side, she heard voices drifting toward her from ahead. She stepped up into the room where she'd faced the Midnight Mother and got her first good look at the place when it wasn't covered in writhing darkness. The crystal pillar at the center really was something incredible. It wasn't a single gemstone, but a myriad of them fused together. Emerald, ruby, topaz, sapphire. All 10 varieties seemed to have been melted into a single thick pillar, 20 feet tall. Storms! What would it look like if all those gems were somehow infused, rather than done as they were at the moment? A large group of guards stood at a barricade near the other side of the room, Looking down into the tunnel where the unmade had vanished, Jasnah rounded the giant pillar, free hand resting on the crystal. The princess wore red, lips painted to match, hair up and run through with sword-like hair spikes, with rubies on the pommels. Storms! She was perfect. A curvaceous figure, tan alethi skin, light violet eyes, and not a hint of aberrant color to her jet-black hair. Making Jasnah Kolin as beautiful as she was brilliant was one of the most unfair things the Almighty had ever done. Shallan hesitated in the doorway, feeling much as she had upon seeing Jasnah for the first time in Kharbranth. Insecure, overwhelmed, and, if she was honest, incredibly envious. Whatever ordeals Jasnah had been through, she looked no worse for wear. That was remarkable, considering that the last time Shallan had seen Jasnah, the woman had been lying unconscious on the floor while a man rammed a knife through her chest. "My mother," Jasnah said, hand still on the pillar, not looking toward Shallan, "thinks this must be some kind of incredibly intricate fabrial. A logical assumption. We've always believed that the ancients had access to great and wonderful technology. How else do you explain shard blades and shard plate?" "Brightness?" Shallan said. "But shard blades aren't fabrials. They're spren, transformed by the bond. As are fabrials, after a manner of speaking," Jasnah said. "You do know how they're made, don't you?" "Only vaguely," Shallan said. "This was how their reunion went? A lecture? Fitting." "You capture a spren," Jasnah said, "and imprison it inside a gemstone crafted for the purpose. Artifabrians have found that specific stimuli will provoke certain responses in the spren. For example, flame spren give off heat, and by pressing metal against a ruby with a flame spren trapped inside, you can increase or decrease that heat." "That's incredible. Horrible," Shallan said. She'd known some of this, but to contemplate it directly appalled her. "Brightness? We're imprisoning spren? No worse than hitching a wagon to a chul." "Sure, if in order to get a chul to pull a wagon you first had to lock it in a box forever." Pattern hummed softly from her skirts in agreement. Jasnah just cocked an eyebrow. "There are spren and there are spren, child." She rested her fingers on the pillar again. "Do a sketch of this for me. Be certain to get the proportions and colors right, if you please." The careless presumption of the command hit Shallan like a slap in the face. What was she? Some servant? To be given orders? "Yes," a part of her affirmed. "That's exactly what you are. You're Jasnah's ward." The request wasn't at all unusual in that light. But compared to how she had grown accustomed to being treated, it was... well, it wasn't worth taking offense at, and she should accept that. Storms! When had she grown so touchy? She took out her sketch pad and got to work. "I was heartened to hear that you had made it here on your own," Jasnah said. "I apologize for what happened on Wind's Pleasure. My lack of foresight caused the deaths of many and doubtless hardship for you, Shallan. Please accept my regret." Shallan shrugged, sketching. "You've done very well," Jasnah continued. "Imagine my amazement when I reached the Shattered Plains, only to discover that the war camp had already relocated to this tower. What you have accomplished is brilliant, child. We will need to speak further, however, about the group that again tried to assassinate me. The Ghost Bloods will almost certainly start targeting you, now that you've begun progressing toward your final ideals." "You're sure it was the Ghost Bloods that attacked the ship?" "Of course I am." She glanced at Shallan, lips turning down. "Are you certain you're well enough to be about, child? You seem uncharacteristically reserved." "I'm fine." You're displeased because of the secrets I kept. We all need secrets, Brightness. I know this more than anyone. But it would have been nice if you had let us know you were alive. Here I was assuming I could handle things on my own. Assuming I'd have to handle things on my own. But all that time, you were on your way back to toss everything into the air again. I only had the opportunity upon reaching the war camps, Jasnah said. And there decided that I couldn't risk it. I was tired and unprotected. If the Ghost Bloods wished to finish me off, they could have done so at their leisure. I determined that a few more days of everyone believing I was dead would not greatly increase their distress. But how did you even survive in the first place? Child, I'm an Else Caller. Of course. An Else Caller, Brightness. A thing you never explained. A word which no one but the most dedicated scholar of the esoteric would recognize. That explains it perfectly. Jasnah smiled for some reason. All Radiants have an attachment to Shadesmar, Jasnah said. Our Spren originate there and our bond ties us to them. But my order has special control over moving between realms. I was able to shift to Shadesmar to escape my would-be assassins. And that helped? With the knife in your storming chest? No, Jasnah said. But surely by now you've learned the value of a little stormlight when it comes to bodily wounds. Of course she had, and she could probably have guessed all of this. But for some reason she didn't want to accept that. She wanted to remain annoyed at Jasnah. My true difficulty was not escaping, but returning, Jasnah said. My powers make it easy to transfer to Shadesmar, but getting back to this realm is no small feat. I had to find a transfer point, a place where Shadesmar and our realm touch, which is far, far more difficult than one might assume. It's like going downhill one way, but uphill to get back. Well, perhaps her return would take some pressure off Shallan. Jasnah could be Brightness Radiant, and Shallan could be, well, whatever she was. We will need to converse further, Jasnah said. I would hear the exact story from your perspective of the discovery of Urithiru, and I assume you have sketches of the transformed Parshman? That will tell us much. I believe I once disparaged the usefulness of your artistic skill. I now find reason to call myself foolish for that presumption. It's fine, Brightness, Shallan said with a sigh, still sketching the pillar. I can get you those things, and there is a lot to talk about. But how much of it would she be able to say? How would Jasnah react, for instance, to finding that Shallan had been dealing with the Ghost Bloods? It's not like you're really a part of their organization, Shallan thought to herself. If anything, you're using them for information. Jasnah might find that admirable. Shallan still wasn't eager to broach the topic. I feel lost, Jasnah said. Shallan looked up from her sketchbook to find the woman regarding the pillar again, speaking softly, as if to herself. For years I was at the very forefront of all this, Jasnah said. One short stumble and I find myself scrambling to stay afloat. These visions that my uncle is having. The refounding of the Radiance in my absence. That Wind Runner. What do you think of him, Shallan? I find him much as I imagined his order, but I have only met him once. It has all come so quickly. After years of struggling in the shadows, everything coming to light, and despite my years of study, I understand so very little. Shallan continued her sketch. It was nice to be reminded that for all their differences, there were occasional things that she and Jasnah shared. She just wished that ignorance weren't at the top of the list.